Welcome to the Wealth Under Pressure podcast. Financial success very often has less to do with owning a financial product, earning a high income, or even being frugal. Instead, the path to success comes from having a comprehensive plan that enables you to optimize decisions and avoid mistakes. Join John Smallwood, a certified financial planner, as he identifies key areas of pressure on people's wealth and strategizes to reduce it. It's time to liberate your wealth.
Hello and welcome to episode number 4 with John Smallwood. Today we're going to talk about an answer, a very deep philosophical question, which is what is savings exactly? Because we personally believe that there could be some misinformation out there. So John, how are you doing? And let's talk about savings.
Good morning. Savings is the key to every financial strategy. It's the fuel that fires the entire financial plan. Without the proper amount of savings going into the right locations, most financial plans will never work.
Elaborate.
Okay. So you have to put it in context as fuel in the car, or if you look at any successful financial company, they have money that goes into research and development, where they're constantly creating new products to create future revenue. Okay. So a healthy company is constantly reinvesting back in themselves. A financial plan has to have a certain amount of money being reinvested back in itself. You have to think of yourself as a business. And if I don't reinvest back in myself, I'm not going to accumulate the amount of wealth that I should over my lifetime. And you have to think of it from the perspective that most financial planning seminars or things that you see, the savings rate and all the publications that you see, our savings rate as a country is well below normal levels. It's somewhere in the neighborhood of, depending on what service you're looking at, somewhere between 2% and 5% of gross annual income. And that's dramatically under an optimal savings rate should be. And most people have been trained to pay themselves last. You hear this old concept of the tried and true pay yourself first, but it really is the beginning of all financial plans. And if you're not putting away a certain amount of money every single year as a percentage of your salary, things like inflation, planned obsolescence, technological change will basically erode everything that you've accumulated.
You have some formulas here, right? So let's break down some of these formulas. You've got this great document that we're working off of today on today's podcast. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the document, and then let's jump into some of these formulas that you have.
So the rule book that we've put together for every financial strategy has certain goals that are attached to it. And basically, the number one goal for every financial plan is to grow your wealth over time, to do it with less taxes, to do it with less risk, to do it with less fees and costs, to provide maximum protection at all times with the least amount of cost, to accumulate enough money so you can enjoy it, and then pass the maximum on to your family, loved ones, favorite charity, whatever that is. So that's the foundation. Now, in looking at, do I have a healthy savings rate or do I not have a healthy savings rate? And you start to look at this and say, if I make under $100,000 as a family, the goal is to be saving about 10% of the gross annual income, or 10%. Pretty simplistic math. And what we find is that most people are saving somewhere between 2 and 3%. So that's a problem. Yeah. As that income increases, what we want to do is we want to get that the next 100 or so thousand should be at 15%. And when you get up to about $500,000, we'd like to see the person saving 20% of their gross annual income. And above that $500,000, we want to see that next incremental income at 25%. And over $1 million, you should be saving about 30% of gross annual income. Now, also, when you look at how you get paid, do you have a salary? Do you have a bonus? Do you have a company where there are distributions being put in? You start looking at commissions, things like that. You want to put away 30% of those earnings. So if I get a bonus every year for $50,000, I'd want to be putting away $15,000 of that after other things. Pay some taxes and enjoy the rest. So you get a little bit of reward.
Yeah, I'm still, I keep going. I mean, this makes a lot of sense. Now, on the document, though, you have goals. So talk about how you, I'm assuming, John, and I apologize for the assumption, but I'm assuming that this isn't something that people just turn on immediately. You should probably work up to this. How do you help people work up to that? Is that the goal section of this?
Exactly. And what's really important in every financial strategy is to kind of get clear on where you are, kind of tell the truth about the present position or the present plan. Where am I saving money? And what we start to think about is, in the rules, what we want to understand is how much money is going into a savings account or a money market account and accumulating in liquid savings, because that's part of a long-term goal, is having about 50% of your annual expenses in short-term savings so you have that liquidity function. How much money is going into your 401k? How much money is going into cash value insurance policies? How much money is going into annuities? How much money is going to your stock purchase plan? Mm-hmm. How much money is going into a 529 plan? How much money is going into a deferred compensation structure? How much money is being invested in mutual funds or exchange traded funds? How much money is going into pay down debt or reduce debt? These are all forms of saving. So you start to look at that and say, okay, where's my money going? Add it all up. What percentage of my gross annual income earned is that?
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at it and say, okay, that's 2%, 3%, 10%, 20%. Is that in alignment with the income that I have? And that's a statement where we basically say, okay, good, bad, ugly, doesn't really matter. It is what it currently is. Now, our goal, once we understand where you are saving and how much you are saving, how can we help you increase that savings by looking at the big picture? Okay, so it's easy to say you should save 10%, mm-hmm. right? And then we're shooting all over ourselves, correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and then we're feeling bad and we're feeling, hey, so this is a process. So, you know, I have clients that are, we've identified new clients coming in, clients that have been with me for years, we've identified there's actually sometimes negative savings rate. They've got credit card debts. They've got things that are, you know, have gotten themselves out of control. Whatever it is, you start with the present savings, right? Then you look at the big picture, because when you think about this strategically, if I'm making $100,000, I'm saving $10,000. Now I'm taking that $10,000 and I'm investing it in strategy XYZ, whatever.
Yep.
My goal is to make a return on that money. And, you know, there's a market return. There might be, I want to have that safety. Maybe I'm in a cash account making less than 1%, but I'm looking at a return. And my philosophy is, I think there are financial leaks throughout everybody's financial plan. There mm-hmm. is money that's just being, you know, petered away through poor structure. And these are small things. But if you look at your ATM usage, if you're going to ATMs and you're paying $2 and $3 transaction fees and you're pulling out $50, the percentage that you're paying on that is tremendous.
Yeah, it's huge.
Right?
Yeah.
It's huge. So what we're looking at is, okay, this is, you look at the small things and say, can I save $50, $60 there? How do I pay my insurance premiums? And all insurance premiums are the same, whether it's car insurance, homeowners insurance, life insurance, disability insurance. They all have if you pay them monthly, quarterly, semi-annual, there's a factor, okay, which is an interest. So mm-hmm. basically, if you're paying a $12,000 premium, just to use that as an example, you're typically not paying $1,000 a month because you're now paying it monthly. You're probably paying $1,050
mm-hmm.
per month. So when you start to think about that, it's costing you 6, 7, 8, 9% to pay those premiums on a monthly basis. So what we want to look at is, you start going through things like that. We recently did a structure where we were looking at a client's plan and they were quite successful and financially and in most ways. And we were looking at it And we figured out that there was almost $6,000 a year that was being paid in interest charges to pay their insurance premiums. Some of them were monthly, some of them were quarterly. And we said, well, you have the ability to pay these annually. If you paid them annually, how much would you save? $6,000.
Mm-hmm.
That goes right to the bottom line of savings. Okay. Then you start to look at cable bills, cell phone bills. I just recently, you know, I've got four kids and my parents are on the cell phone bills and the whole world's on the cell phone bills. And I went in to get a new phone and I said, I'm really unhappy with the cell phone bill. By the time we left, we dropped our bill by $70 a month and we got more services. And you start thinking about all these leaks as you go through. I got cell phone bills, I got cable bills, I got water bills, I got electric bills. All these things are normal things in the course of action, but how much money can I take back from that transfer of wealth to the other financial institutions, right? And if I can save a couple of $1,000s on my $100,000 worth of income, and I could put that to savings, that is a substantial increase in the amount of money that I'm actually saving, right?
Yes.
And when you look at now, we're running into a new tax law and nobody knows what this thing is going to look like. Yeah. But when you look at your tax return, the majority of people are paying more taxes than they should. They are missing deductions. They are missing things in their tax plan that could allow them to reduce their current taxes. The way their dividends and their interest are showing up is creating excess tax. The way they're taking their deductions and they're itemizing them, and are they getting all of their deductions? And these are things that are really crucial. And when we're looking at a financial plan, let's say the client's paying, you know, 22% effective tax bracket. If we can drop that 2 percentage points on $100,000, that's $2,000.
Yeah.
That's a 20% increase.
Wow.
In the amount of savings.
Yeah.
Right. So what we're trying to do is reduce the pressure. And I talk to so many people that are like, it is what it is. And well, yeah, it is what it is. But we have to be strategic and calculated in our thinking. So if you take this kind of a mindset or an exercise where I want to enjoy the things that I want to enjoy, right? You know, I want to go out to dinner. I want to do these things. But if it's violating my savings rate, there's a point where I'm not going to be happy. And most people, I think when you think about it, there's a lot of, not most people, but when you read a lot of the statistics on savings, when the water heater breaks, most people, a lot of people in the country do not have enough money to take care of that piece. And they end up in debt as a result of that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the strategies that I'm seeing out there are having people accelerate all their debt just to get down the road and not have any liquidity, and they're back in debt again.
Mm-hmm.
It's like losing weight, right? We all go through, we lose 20 pounds on a diet, and then something happens and we're up 30.
Yeah. Yeah. Been there, man. Been there.
Been there right now. But so the savings rate, if I'm going to be successful, and when I say successful, it's accumulating money over time that allows me to sustain my lifestyle. And it doesn't have to be a person who makes a lot of money during their lifetime, but we have to follow the rules. And if I'm, you know, I see people that they put money into deferred compensation structures, and then that money has to come out in 2 or 3 years based upon the requirements of that plan. But instead of taking that money that's coming out of the deferred compensation plan and sticking it into an investment, I see it being consumed.
Mm-hmm.
So even though it looks like we're putting money into a deferred comp, we're actually taking money back out and it's going into consumption. So when you look at the true savings rate, while it looks like 30% on one end, but when the money comes out, if I'm spending it all, I'm really saving 10%.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be the goal. We all know that we're going to have a career. We get one possible time frame. When we start thinking about our wealth and its potential, we start off, we're 20-something years old. We're going to accumulate wealth to we're 65, 70, sometimes longer, sometimes shorter. And then that income is going to change. And then I have to live off the income that I've accumulated.
Yeah.
And I have to be prepared for that. And if you're 50 years old and you're listening to this and you have a certain amount of money and you have a certain amount of lifestyle, you have to think about, if I stopped working today, take the amount of money that I have and divide it, and then divide it by my burn rate or my monthly expenditures, how long is that going to last?
Right. That's a scary equation there, John.
Right. And you, and then we know, okay, it's not going to last the time frame that I want. Well, the solution shouldn't be to take more risk, right? Because risk is not something that, you know, guarantees an outcome. Risk is risk, and risk could end up very favorably, or risk could end up unfavorably.
Right.
Okay. And the idea is that the most important piece in the financial plan is the savings rate. That once the money's being saved, if I can accumulate enough wealth over a time frame and get a decent rate of return on that, that's better than taking 2-3% of my money and trying to turn it into something that's substantial.
Mm-hmm.
And it's knowing, so once you understand where you are, your financial plan and my financial plan and the people that are listening to this podcast, financial plans are uniquely individual. It's their plan.
Mm-hmm.
They have their own families, their family dynamics, their parents, their brothers, their sisters, their kids. There's all these things that are going on. You have different income streams. You have different tax rates based upon your deductions and your family makeup and everything that you have. You have different savings vehicles that are available to you. If you work for a corporation, you have different things than somebody that might be self-employed, different ways of doing things. And the idea is that you have to understand the savings rate, that gross number, is really important. But once I have that, where should my money go based on my circumstances, not my neighbors? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And this becomes really important. So what's right for you and what's right for me probably are two different things because of the way our plans are designed. And as we put our money to work, what we really want to understand is, what does the money have to do to achieve the goals that I've set up for the pressure that's coming in my life, right? And I start to think about it. I've got two kids in college. I got two more to put through college. We're accumulating money for retirement. All of these things are geared towards my unique circumstances. And the idea is that I need to put away a certain amount of money so that when I can no longer work or no longer enjoy work or whatever, I can sustain the lifestyle that I've brought up. And that's what I don't really see people understanding, is what does their money have to do to meet that goal? And if I don't, there's so many variables, as we talk about in the wealth curve, in the whole wealth curve concept, and, you know, pressure is that taxes, market volatility, fees and costs, everything's eroding and pushing down on that wealth potential. And if we can identify the things that are transferring it away, it's easier to save money. So if I can go in and help a client reduce their expenses and reduce their costs and increase their tax deductions and, you know, help them benefit from that, we could take that money and add it to their savings rate. That's a tremendous increase in the amount of savings rate. And it's not something that happens today. It's something that might happen over a 1-2 year time frame based upon what's wrong in the plan. You know, so it's a goal, and the goal has to be constantly measured, and it has to be constantly updated. It has to be reviewed and has to be adapted based upon what's going on. I mean, there are periods in your life where things happen and you need to have that liquidity and that adaptation to get, you know, through those difficult time frames.
Right. Well, first off, you're making me think about myself, which I know as the podcast host, I'm probably not supposed to be doing that, but I'm thinking about all of these numbers and percentages and where I'm supposed to do what with who. Do you have anything on your website that can walk people through this, or is this something that you always do in person? Help us with that.
We have a tool on the website, which is called the Wealth Curve Pressure Identifier. And that's a tool that you can download. And it's got a bunch of sections on it, which talks about the family, talks about your income, talks about the taxes. It understands where you're saving money, what your debt structure is, what your lifestyle is, where your assets are, a place to put down your future pressures or positive, and then how the money's protected, right? So that tool, you can download it. you put your email in, we send you the tool, we send you a training video, and you can listen to it, watch it, and do the form on your own. And if you want to talk to us about that form, we love to set up what we call a wealth curve conversation, which is a half an hour conversation where we're helping you identify where the pressure is and what can we do to help you eliminate that, or minimize it is a better word, and help you increase your savings rate and increase your protection and increase the amount of wealth that you have for retirement.
Gotcha. So please, everybody, take advantage of that, because this, in fact, what you should probably do is pause and go back and listen to this again and write some of these numbers down. And as you continue to write these numbers down, think about sitting down with somebody and having an experienced person be able to walk you through all of these numbers, because this is a fundamental shift in how people look at their long-term savings, their long-term retirement, and really what they should be doing with their money. And when you're working with somebody like John, you can really see and you could hear not only his passion about this, but really what the major difference is between what he's talking about and what your present financial advisor might be talking to you about. All right, John, closing statements on this episode number four?
Closing statement is this, is when we're talking about savings and putting money in places, it mm-hmm. has to be designed for the individual. There is no miracle financial product that you're going to put your money into and it's going to solve all your problems. Mm-hmm. It's taking a bunch of financial products, organizing them in a unique way, in a strategy that's part of an overall solution for the individual. That's what we want people to do, and we want people to think strategically.
Fantastic. Well, people thinking strategically and taking the long view. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful advice. Thank you, John, for your thought leadership today.
Thank you, sir.
And this was episode number four. What is savings exactly? And if you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, make sure you click the subscribe now button so that every time John comes out with a new podcast, it'll be directly pushed to your listening device. Thank you all very much. And have a wonderful day.
Smallwood Wealth Management is a registered investment advisor. The opinions expressed by Smallwood Wealth Management and guests on the show are their own. All statements and opinions expressed are based upon information considered reliable, although it should not be relied upon as such. Any statements or opinions are subject to change without notice. Information presented is for educational purposes only. Moreover, no listener should assume that any discussions or information presented serves as the receipt of or a substitute for personalized advice from Smallwood Wealth Management or from any other investment professional, and is not intended as an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Smallwood Wealth Management is not a law firm or accounting firm, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, or tax advice. Information expressed does not take into account your specific situation or objectives and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for any individual. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from a qualified tax, legal, or investment advisor to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation.